Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the gospel of God. Then notice in verse 28, take heed therefore, because of what I've said. He knows he's about to leave. It won't be long. He's going to be dead. He talks about the battles and the difficulties that they've faced. And here's what he said for them to do, and for those, especially the elders that he's speaking to, the pastors. He says, take heed thereunto yourselves, and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul, of course, is speaking here, and he's speaking primarily, not only, but primarily to the elders or to the pastors of the churches. And he is talking about a time where he's going to have and has had difficulties, and so have they. And he says in verse 28, take heed thereunto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's so much in that verse. I have been thinking this week, I suppose I think it every week, about the church of today. But I'm not only thinking about the church of today, I'm thinking about the church of tomorrow. Where will the church go? What direction is the church going? And when I'm talking about a church, I'm talking about the New Testament local assembly. That's what we are here. We are a New Testament local church. We preach and teach and believe and I hope live the word, the gospel. But I want to ask you, where is this church, where is any church like us headed? I know very few, I think I could count them on one hand and have extra fingers. I know very few churches of our type, the old-fashioned way, that is really flourishing in our day. That is sad and it's also scary. So I ask myself, as I hope you have also, where is the church going? Has our way, which I think is biblical, the old-fashioned way, is it too old? Is it too old-fashioned? Should we send it to the nursing home and just let it die a slow, quiet death? I think not. I want to try to preach this morning on the church of tomorrow. Not yesterday or even today, but the church of tomorrow. If you notice in verse 18, look back a little bit. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons. Notice what Paul does. He goes back into the past, and he brings them up to the present. And I thought about how so often we who have the old-fashioned way of thinking do that same thing. We look in the past. We look back to yesterday, and examine the church of yesterday. And because the church of today is not like the church of yesterday, so many times we get depressed. I want to mention first the picture of the past. The picture of the past. Now, I've been saved long enough to where I can look back and see a day when God really did move. I would call it a spirit of revival. I would say that the churches, even in this area, used to be on fire for God. I've been in services that were absolutely indescribable because of the presence of God. I've seen people getting saved in numerous numbers. I remember one service where there was 19 people saved in one service. I have seen a lot that has happened, and I've seen preachers who preach very simple messages, and the power of God would fill the place. I've seen God move in, and the preacher didn't get to preach, and yet the Lord moved, and people were helped, and God was magnified, and the churches were growing, and the churches were alive, and people wanted to go and didn't want to leave. But I have a problem with all that. Even though I love that, I think toward that, and it encourages me that it did happen then, which means it can happen now. If we aren't careful, we'll look so much at the past and see what it used to be that we think it's not that way anymore. It'll never be that way anymore. We are defeated. We are depressed. We are in despair. There's no hope. There's no help. We're just going down. We're coming up for the third time, just about to sink the last time and drowned away. But I want to say that isn't the way that it is. Now, we preachers who look back to the past are not trying to discourage others. We're trying to encourage people by saying, look what God did. If he did it then, he can do it now. But it can, if we're not careful, depress us. So I want to say this morning, the past is not near as good as we pretend it to be. I use the word pretending easily and somewhat generically. The past was not perfect. I say this morning, there have always been difficult places. That's what Paul said. He looks back into the past and he says, look what happened in the past. There's been problems. The past was not perfect. People were not perfect. Circumstances were not perfect. Churches were not perfect. Christians were not perfect. It's not near as good as we think it is sometime in the past. I say there's always been difficult places. You go back to the Garden of Eden, and you find there's a problem because of Satan. Satan said to Eve, you shall not surely die. You know what? He's been lying since he fell. The devil's always been a liar. There has been lying since Satan first put his foot on this earth and started talking to Eve through a serpent and said, you are not going to go like God said it. God is lying to you. There's always been a problem because of Satan. There's always been a problem because of sin. Genesis 3:23 said, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. Because of the sin in Adam's life where he had disobeyed God, God said there's going to be a consequence. There is going to be a consequence for your sin. And he sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, that place of bliss, that place of delight, that place of supply, that place of provision, and sent them out of the garden. And one thing he said was, you will till the ground, suggesting your life's not going to be easy, and it's because of your sin. I'm talking about the church of tomorrow. What can we expect tomorrow? Well, one thing for sure we better not do is look back into the past so lovingly that we think there's no need to try, there's no need to pray, because we are not what we used to be, and it'll never be what it used to be. I tell you what, looking back, we better realize there's always been problems. There's always been difficult places. That's not a dream come true back there. That's not a utopia. That's not the Garden of Eden. There's problems in the past, and there'll be problems in the future. There's problems, there's difficult places because of Satan. There's difficult places because of sin. There's difficult places because of self. I've thought about how Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. And the reason he did that was because of the sin in his heart, and the reason there was sin in his heart was because of what Adam and Eve had done. And he was doing, listen to this, what came naturally to him, his self, his nature. There's always been an old nature. There's always been a flesh. Those people in the past, including me, were not perfect. We were flesh just like people today. There was self to battle back then, just like it is now. We are not in a place of despair and agony on me if we just realize there's still a God in heaven. There's always been difficult places because of Satan, because of sin, because of self, because of suffering. In the past, there were plenty of difficult places where there were people who suffered traumatically, desperately, difficult times. I'm reminded about where God said to Eve, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. I'm talking about all the way back to the Garden of Eden. There were difficult places. And God said to Eve, you're going to pay for your sin. And a part of it is having sorrow and suffering. Job said, why did I not from the womb? Why didn't I just die? The reason he said that was because he was going through so much suffering. I'm telling you what, yesterday's not near as bright as we think it is. There's always been difficult places. And that's why Peter said to us, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think it's strange because there's a trial coming your way. Don't think it's strange or unique because you're going through problems. Look back. Everybody's gone through problems. Everybody's had difficult places. You are not unique. You are not different. You are just like yesterday and the day before. We see this morning there has always been difficult places. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says we are troubled on every side. That's what Paul said. Everywhere I look, there's trouble. I don't see any place to go to get relief other than God. I'm talking this morning about the picture of the past. I'm talking about the church of tomorrow. Where will the church be tomorrow? I know one thing. If we keep looking at the past as though it's some dream world, we'll be so depressed, we don't want to do anything for God. We want to stay home, pull the covers up, and hope that the rapture comes in a hurry. There's always been difficult places. There's always been difficult places. There's always been dissatisfied people. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, I just want to tell you something. When I leave, there's going to be wolves that move in. And they are not going to be satisfied with the thing, way things are. And they're going to come in to try to devour the flock. They're not satisfied with anything. They're not even satisfied with God. And there has always been dissatisfied people. We look around today and we see people that are so easily offended, so easily defeated, so easily to move on to another church or quit church completely as though that's some new thing, something that's just started. I tell you what, it's always been that way. I got saved 46 years ago. Even then, I remember people getting mad and leaving churches. Now, did that make it right? Of course not. But I'm just saying, we are not in a different day. We are in the same world they lived in the past. And God's seen us safe so far, and He's not going to desert us now. There's always been dissatisfied people. Notice about Cain. He said when God put the curse on him and sent him out, here's what the man said to God. My punishment is worse than I can bear. And I want to say, dummy, why'd you kill your brother? You killed your own brother and now you're complaining because God is punishing you? See, there's always been dissatisfied people. There's always been people who complain. There's always been people that don't see it the way that God sees it. Exodus 16:3, here's what the people of Israel said, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Here's this bunch of people. God has brought them out of Egypt, set them free, delivered them from Pharaoh and the Egyptians, brought them across the Red Sea, and now they're complaining and saying, I wish we just died in Egypt. I want to say, come on and grow up, people. There's always been dissatisfied people. All the way back to the garden, all the way back to Cain and Abel, all the way back to Moses and the people of Israel. This ain't something new. By the way, in our yesterday of churches, back when the Lord was moving in a very real way, not suggesting He isn't at all right now, but we know that things are not what they used to be. If you think they are, you know very little about what it used to be or very little about what is going on nowadays. But I want to say the picture of the past, if we're not careful, will defeat us instead of encouraging us. There's always been dissatisfied people. I think about Lot. I mean, the man went to Sodom and was living in Sodom, a believer living in Sodom, where he had moved in and was sitting at the gate and part of the business transaction. And when God said, you got to get out because I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, oh, no, don't send me out there. Send me to, well, look at this little city. Look at this little town. Let me go to the little town. Here's what Lot said. He said, oh, not so, my Lord. And I want to say, Lot, are you kidding? God is trying to spare your life. God ought to just kill you dead. You've been living in Sodom. You have wrecked and ruined your testimony with your family and all the lost people around you. And now you're dissatisfied because God says to go out and get away from it all. Lot, are you kidding me? And I have found out there's always been dissatisfied people. And I'm telling you, a lot of times their dissatisfaction comes because of something they've done. Sure did happen with Lot. There's always been difficult places. There's always been dissatisfied people. There's always been discouraged preachers. Look in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. He said to the elder, to the preacher, to the pastor, watch yourself, buddy. Watch out. Because it can be discouraging. And you, like anybody in that church, can be defeated. The devil's not leaving you alone. In fact, he's probably attacking you more than anybody else. If you think you can't fall, you are already in trouble. If you think you're above the devil's attack, you are already about to fall. There's always been discouraged preachers, even in the past, in the good days, in the stirring days, in the revival days that I know about. I remember preachers getting discouraged. I remember preachers quitting. I remember preachers falling and failing, throwing in the towel, messing up. That was not a perfect day. And for us to look back in the past and look at that picture of the past and think it was so good, it'll never be that way again, and we're defeated today because of what it used to be, we're in trouble. Because, listen, it wasn't the utopia we think it was. Good, yes. Great, yes. God, yes. But it wasn't perfect. People were the same then. There were discouraged preachers then. Moses came to God and said, what shall I do in this people? They are almost ready to stone me. Moses had let the Lord lead him, and God had led Israel out of Egypt. through the man Moses, and now they're turning on him, they're mad at him, and they're wanting to stone him. And Moses goes to God and says, what in the world am I going to do? They're going to kill me. The man's discouraged. I'm talking about way in the past. There were discouraged preachers, and there's still discouraged preachers. And if we live another 100 years, there'll still be discouraged preachers. If you look in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David says, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. The mighty man of God, David, a man after God's own heart, is so discouraged because the people are going to stone him. The people are turned against him. There's always been discouraged preachers. Jeremiah went under the juniper tree and wished to die. Just kill me, God. End it now. I'm telling you, we can look in the past and see these preachers that are really full of God, and God used, and they had a touch on them, and they were godly, and think that it's never going to be that way again. But I want to tell you, it wasn't perfect in the past. People, preachers got discouraged then. But I will say this. In my lifetime, I've been saved 46 years. I have never seen a more discouraging time for preachers than now. It is a discouraging time for preachers especially. But I want to tell you something. There's still a God in heaven. There's still a God in heaven. We cannot look back and say, oh, those preachers, what a man of God. Boy, they just walked with God and never worried. Oh, no, they worried too. They got discouraged too. I'm talking this morning about the picture of the past. The church of tomorrow, there's always been difficult places. There's always been dissatisfied people. There's always been discouraged preachers. There's always been disobedience problems. Disobedience problems. I lived it. And I lived in what I believe was a time of revival to a certain point. And I remember people that loved the Lord. I remember people when they get out of the car, they start shouting before they got in the church building. I remember people that loved the Lord and stayed in the Word and tried to live for God and serve God. And when they failed, it grieved them terribly. But I want to tell you something. They were not super saints. They were just like us. They were flesh. They were godly, no doubt. They were more dedicated than the average Christian today, no doubt about it. They were more focused on the things of God than we are today. There's no doubt about it. But they still failed God. There's always been disobedient problems. Adam and Eve sinned in a perfect environment. Adam and Eve sinned. Eve sinned and didn't even have a mother-in-law to battle with. Adam sinned and didn't even have a mother-in-law to have to deal with. I mean, their environment wasn't perfect, but they still sinned. And since then, there's been sin after sin after sin after sin. Does that make it right? No, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying the day is the same as it's always been. Exodus 17:4, what shall I do unto this people? They almost be ready to stone me. People were willing and wanting to kill the man of God. I tell you what, that's pretty bad. I think there's been some nowadays that want to, they just don't say it out loud. Jesus said to his disciples, could you not watch with me 1 hour? These men he had poured his life into, these men who had seen him do miracles and heard his word and saw mighty things, when he just says, will you pray with me, they went to sleep. I'm telling you, there's always been disobedience problems. In Mark 14:50, it summarizes it all, and it says, and they all forsook him and fled. When he was arrested, they all ran. I'm telling you, there's always been disobedience problems. Peter said, I don't know this man. I don't know who he is. I'm telling you, the day that we're living is full of disobedience. People are not what they should be, there's no doubt. But that does not mean this is something new. Does that make it okay? No. But I'm saying, if we look to the past as though it's something perfect, it'll defeat us so much today that we won't be ready for tomorrow. The church of tomorrow. Remind you of the seven churches. Of those seven that were real churches, Jesus said, I've got things against you. Ephesus, you've left your first love. Pergamos, you hold to the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. There at Thyatira, I have a few things against thee. Sardis, you have a name that liveth, but you're dead. The Laodiceans, they were lukewarm, not cold nor hot. I'm telling you, back then, there was disobedience problems. But then I want to mention this. Not only was there difficult places and dissatisfied people and discouraged preachers and disobedience problems, but there was also divine power. If you notice what Paul writes, for this, in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, I've been praying for you, I've been warning you. And he goes on and on, look in verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know what I've said this morning? Don't know if you got it, but here's what I'm saying. We are in bad shape today, and we weren't in really good shape yesterday, but there's still the grace of God to help us through it all. If we look at the past and say, oh, what a wonderful day. I wish it was like that. It'll never be like that again. Why in the world go on? I'll tell you one thing. Our picture of the past is wrong. But our picture of the future has to be based on God's power. Verse 24, Paul says, but none of these things move me. All that's going on, all the bad, all the desperate, all the discouragement, all the disobedience, everything, none of these things move me. He said, Satan's done all that he can, and sin's wrecked and ruined, and self has made a mess, and suffering has driven us down. But I want to tell you, God is still able to help us even today. By the way, he did yesterday, and he will today if we let him. Remember Adam and Eve? They sure did fail, but God came and gave them skins to deal with their sin. God helps people when they come to him. I'm going to tell you something. We need to learn how to go to God like never before. What's going to happen to the church of tomorrow? I don't know, but I know this. It depends on us, and it depends on the Lord. How we walk with him and how we trust him. I'm saying there's divine power. There always has been in the past and in the present. It says of David, of course, he was so discouraged, but in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. There was help to be had for David when he got the lowest he'd ever been. John 19, 30, Jesus, I mean, you talk about trouble. He's hanging on the cross. He has been deserted by his disciples, forsaken by Jews and Gentiles alike. His own father has turned its back on him. And here's what Jesus said, it is finished. He, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. I'm telling you, there was help to be had. So I come to this point. What's the answer? About done. What's the answer? Look in verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's the answer. Paul said there's a whole lot of bad stuff going on, and I want to tell you what, it ain't going to get easier. In fact, Paul says it's going to get worse. Isn't that encouraging? But he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get on our face, and we're going to talk to God. So what does that mean? What are we to do? I think, number one, it means examine. I'm not talking about examining the church, examining the past, examining the future, examining the world. I'm talking about examine me. That's what Paul said to do. He said, also of your own self. He says, take heed. He says, therefore, watch and remember. He says, examine yourself. Look at me. I want to ask you a question. Look at yourself and nobody else. I'm about done. Examine yourself. Are you a help or a hindrance to this church? Do you help it or do you hurt it? I believe with all my heart that's what Paul is saying. Take heed to yourself. Not the church, not the future, not the past, but yourself. Examine. Am I helping? Am I hindering? Am I hurting? Am I contributing to the good or to the bad? I just want to say something. If we're not helping the church, we have no right to complain about what isn't happening. I mean, we don't have any reason to complain. I do believe this. The church, and this is why I'm preaching on a Sunday morning, the church is a good gauge for us to measure our spirituality. Now, it's not perfect, and it's not without flaw, but it's a good gauge to determine how spiritual we are or aren't. A person who does not attend church when they can, I tell you what, that's not a spiritual person. That is not a spiritual person. If somebody can come to church and they don't come to church, that shows there's something wrong spiritually. That sounds simple to me. I'm talking about examine. Attendance is a good gauge. Attention is a good gauge. I'm talking about examine me. You see, we take time for what we really care about. We take time for what we really value. A person who can come to church and doesn't has a problem. Not only attendance, but attention. When you come to church, do you pray, "Oh God, touch us this morning"? How much time did you spend today? But I want to tell you something. We need to pray. And we can't look at the past and talk about what they were and how great it was. And it was. If we expect what God did then, we're going to have to do now what they did do then, which was certainly pray. We need to get a hold of God. Do you come to church open and attentive? Promise you something, including me. If we come not open and attentive, there's no wonder we don't get much help. You can't force feed anybody. I want to tell you what. Need to first examine. Number two, encourage. Encourage yourself. Realize all is not lost. Could I remind you, the Lord warned us about what we're seeing. He warned us that it's going to be this way. It ought to be encouraging, even though it can be very depressing because of the condition of what we see in the world and the church of today. But God said it's going to be this way, so I encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord, but not just encourage yourself, encourage somebody else. Did you hear, Brother Tommy? I promise you, a lot of us would say the same thing. I got up this morning so depressed. I got up so defeated. I got up so tired. A lot of us would say that if we were honest. And somebody needs you. I'm talking about somebody needs you to encourage them. There's people who have quit church, this one and others, because nobody encouraged them. And that's wrong and that's sad. Somebody just needs an uplift. Somebody just needs a prayer. Somebody just needs a handshake, and I'm praying for you. A text or a call or a card. I'm telling you, we need to encourage others. I'm telling you, we're a family. We're a family. We're a family, and we need to act like a family and encourage each other, not discourage each other, not down each other, but encourage each other. Examine. What am I to do? What's the answer? Examine. Encourage. Number three, evangelize. Tell somebody today about the Lord. There's hundreds of tracts back there in that copier room. Get these tracts and pass them out. You don't even have to say a word. Tell others about Christ. A church grows by new birth. New birth. And we need to realize, like never before, evangelize. Read these verses. It won't take time. But one thing they say is go out, tell, keep telling, keep preaching. We need to evangelize. Tell somebody every day about the Lord. We need to examine. We need to encourage. We need to evangelize. And we need to endure. Just endure it. I've said this, I guess, maybe too often.
We need to put our big boy pants on and realize we are in a battle. This is a battle. It is not time to quit. It's not time to relax. It's not time to go AWOL. It is time to fight with the Lord's help. But I promise you one thing. I hope you listen to me. Quitting church is not the answer. You're walking away from God's way of help when you quit church. When you miss one service that you could come to, you're walking away from the help. I'm sorry, Brother Tommy, but I want to say again, he said, I got help by coming this morning. Endure some things. We're soldiers, not Girl Scouts. Endure the battles. Endure the difficulties. Endure the mess the world's in. Endure the trouble of the churches. And keep walking with God. What else are we going to do? Quitting won't work. It'll defeat you and discourage everybody else. I've talked this morning about the picture of the past. My point is, men, looking in the past can be very encouraging. God did it then, He can do it again. It can also be very discouraging, looking back as so a utopia, so great, so wonderful, that it'll never be the same again, and just quit. I tell you what, that's not the way. God is still God in 2021, after we've lived through 2020. With all that's going on in our world that's falling apart, God is still God. And I want to say this morning, I want to be what I need to be until God sends for me. Let's stand together. Many of you come, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning not saved, I want to tell you something. Everything I've mentioned this morning is a sign of the Lord's close arrival.